The following program is people. Excuse me. There you go. Step back, madam. The following program is performed in the nude. To the program chairman of the PTA everywhere. Oh, so exciting, I'll tell you. It's really exciting. What? Life, friend. Life itself. See, dear Shepherd. Brincadores Mexicanos, la curiosidad más original en el mundo entero. I've just received a offer by mail for me to buy 1,000 jumping beans from a secret source in Sonora, Mexico. These are genuine, loaded, gambling jumping beans. Now, I don't know whether you've ever played that little game, friendies. It's played this way. Certain types of jumping beans are known only to the aficionados to jump only in one direction when a certain whistle is whistled. Have you ever played the gambling jumping bean game? Well, jumping beans, you've seen jumping beans, I presume. Well, they're not actually jumping beans. The jumping bean performs because it has a tiny worm in it. And that worm occasionally has problems with itchiness. He flip-flops a couple of times trying to scratch his back, and the next thing you know, the bean is flopping around and moving across that little board. The way the game is played, you place a dollar, $2, $3, up to $10. You will place your judgment against that of the moving, jumping bean. Which way will the bean move? Which way will the bean progress? How the hell did I get on a jumping bean list? All right. I'm on a more sucker list, I want to tell you. Let's see, here's a note. John DePrima is 14, been in the business for 2 weeks, selling night crawlers as bait to the fishermen. He gets 2 cents a worm. Agents of the State Tax Commission in Massachusetts called his home yesterday to warn him as a vendor he must have a permit and he must collect 3% sales tax and turn it over to state for every worm he sells. Indeed, it's up to my blooming knickers. Every time you turn around. I don't know how Apple Mary would do today. Filling out all them forms. Let's see, the lobster race is going big in Cleveland. Let's see. Stirring interest everywhere. They got busted two guys with stills. All right, things are moving along. Everything is, you know, it's normal. There's a heavy fog over life, yes. It's hanging about the 10th story here in town. Deep. Heavy. And I'm sitting there over the weekend, see, and I see Tom Seaver drop a ball game. And I say to myself, well, you know, it suddenly hit me. You know who I miss? Wilt Chamberlain. I miss Wilt. I mean, you know, his season is over. Where, you know, he's gone now. Suddenly disappears. Then I thought to myself, not only do I miss Wilt Chamberlain, you know, by George, I miss Emerson Boozer. Joe Namath. And it suddenly hit me which way sports is going. I know what's going to happen very shortly, friends. I'm making a prediction tonight. I'm popular, and yet it's got to come. I can see a sports cast. I can see the beginning of a sports broadcast 5 years from now. It goes like this. Good evening, fans. Good evening, sport fans everywhere. Tonight, the New York Knickerbockers take on the Baltimore Bullets. The New York Knickerbockers, led by Tom Seaver, whom you saw last week in the World Series. Baltimore Bullets, led by your favorite writer, Norman Mailer. Co-starring George Plimpton and Richard Burton. Unistar Sports Network is on the air. Yes, Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we're broadcasting to you tonight from the main arena at the New York City Madison Square Garden, where last week Paul Newman defeated. It's bringing out big. It's all right, don't worry about it. All right, that's enough. No, I think it's got to come. I really seriously think it's got to come that the Unistar concept will eventually happen. And that, you know, that it doesn't make any difference how a guy plays anything. I began to see this. Have you noticed that the Yankees are still bringing back Mickey Mantle every 15 minutes? And they, you know, say, oh, Mick is going to be out here next week. And the whole Unistar concept is, now how many times, for example, do you hear about celebrity golf? Well, now listen, I know some celebrities, and I wouldn't go across the street to see Jerry Lewis play golf. And he's playing with Arnold Palmer, you know, yet. Well, now, on the other hand, why is it that Arnold Palmer doesn't star at the, let's say, the Sands in Las Vegas? Well, of course he will, ultimately. And so the Unistar concept is going to be, eventually, it's got to happen. And because we're wasting so many stars in their off-season. For example, you sometimes go 4 or 5 months without seeing a new Paul Newman picture. Well, why isn't Paul Newman then, say, leading the Passaic bowling stars over at Phil Rizzuto's bowling alley, you know, on a nightly basis? And I'm serious. We've got to use our stars more. Our stars are being wasted. I mean, for crying out loud, sometimes you wait upwards of 3, 4, maybe 6 or 8 weeks for a new book by Norman Mailer. I mean, a new, deeply conceived novel. How long has it been since I've seen a new book by Philip Roth? For crying out, it must be at least a month. So what's he doing between times? Well, I think that Philip Roth would make a good backcourt man for the Knicks. I mean, you know, between novels, you could see these people in different contexts. And the Unistar concept, I think, has got a lot of merit. For example, now, look at all the time during the day when you can't see Johnny Carson. I mean, some people may go as long as maybe 16, 17 hours without seeing Johnny Carson. That's not easy. So why not have, say, for example, Carson playing first base in the day games of the Mets? I mean, he could do it as well as Cranepool. I've seen Cranepool. I mean, you know, with that 12.0038 batting average, for crying out loud, you know, Plimpton could do that. I mean, and he'd be a bigger name draw. I mean, you certainly would much... How many of you would go out to see, say, Gloria Steinem catch against the Pittsburgh Pirates tomorrow night? It would be groovy, I'll tell you. And no, the Unistar concept is just beginning. And, of course, Cranepool sings. Every ball player sings. Listen, every ball player who's playing today... has got, if he's got an agent that's at least worth his salt, he's got at least one, a book going. He's got 2 movie offers. We now know that every football player is certainly capable of being a top movie star. I mean, the way has been paved, and you don't have to know anything if you're the right color anyway. But nevertheless, every movie star, every football player has got at least 3 or 4 offers to do movies immediately. Now, there's no reason why Paul Newman cannot play for the Jets. I say it doesn't make... It's all showbiz, tit for tat. You know, why not? I mean, if Namath can make a movie, he's making one of these exploit movies, isn't he, out there? I think, for example, a much better coach than the average coach you see on the football field, a much better coach would be Raymond Burr. He'd make a great coach. He really would. I mean, he's got such a solid, concerned look about him. And every time Weeb Eubank walks out there, he reminds me of a little fire plug with feet. I can't buy that, coach. I mean, I want a real coach. And too often, I mean, you go to a ball game and you see non-entities. Non-entities and the star. Well, who's this, what's his name? Al Weiss, for crying out loud. I mean, he's a nice guy, probably plays pretty good baseball, but he certainly isn't as big a name as, he's not as big a name as Jack Nicklaus. That's right. And I saw Al Weiss the other day go 0-for-4, and I think Nicklaus could do that, but with more panache, you know, a little more pizzazz. Why not get Morty Gunty to play second base? For, It's coming. I mean, there's no question about it. Now we all know that in this business, the star business, that the way a star performs doesn't have much to do with whether a star is a star or not. Now, I suspect, no, this is unfortunately the fact, and I suspect that there's going to be, of course, there's going to be a crisscross between other areas. Now let's take Agnew. Now, between speeches, I see no reason at all why Agnew can't do, a TV show where he plays the guitar, sings the banjo, and, maybe does a little tap dance or something like that. You saw him last night. Put him over to Coles in that political speech from Pittsburgh. See him tonight singing, "Yes, Sir, That's My Baby." Here he comes. He's on the stage now. It's Unistar time. Your favorite all-time star, now making a comeback, it's Jolton Joe DiMaggio. You all remember Jolton Joe when he played for the New York Yankees? Jolton Joe, who was married to America's sex sweetheart. And now Jolton Joe leads his rock group out on the stage. His salute to Simon and Garfunkel. His favorite song, "Where Have You Gone, Simon, When a Nation Needs You." Simon and Garfunkel, as you know, are now playing for the Montreal Canadiens. This is WOR in Friendly New York. Yeah, just put anything there. You just keep it up there. Let's see. What do we have? Do you have one of those little ding-dongs in there for us, Big Marty? Ding-dong.
And now a special message from Dr. Pepper. The first Dr. Pepper truck has reached New York. We now switch you to our man on the street, Saul Weinberg, for a first-hand report.
Yes, it's true. The first Dr. Pepper truck has indeed arrived. The mood here is one of great excitement. Excuse me, please. People are cheering and screaming. Old and young alike, watch the cable, please, have united in one great gesture of welcome. I'm trying to get near the truck. Welcome. Welcome to New York.
How do you like it, kid?
Gee, Eddie, it's everything you said it would be.
Would you like to say something to our audience? How does it feel to be the first truck to make it through?
speaking for the kid and myself, we're kind of proud.
Hey, Mom, look, I made it!
Get out!
Well, there you have it. Some people said they'd never make it, but Dr. Pepper is in New York.
Yeah, some people thought they'd never make it. A lot of people said that. Oh, I heard scoffers all up and down the street. Dr. Pepper is never going to make it. And they showed him. By the way, Una Stars will require a new sport. It'll be Una Sport. It'll be a Una game. They will play an all-purpose game. I suspect Bumble Puppy. And they'll play this fantastic game. It'll be played with a gigantic Bumble Puppy machine. And it'll be wheeled out into the arena with flashing lights, and it'll shoot off Roman candles, and the giant Bumble Puppy machine will move into position. And the opening kickoff, which will be, of course, the opening blast on the Geschflugelhorn, which is the traditional Bumble Puppy horn, which opens the beginning of the exciting season, will be blown by William Buckley. And the ball will immediately be passed to Lindsay, who will make a quick shuffle pass to Debbie Reynolds, and the game will be underway. The Unipuppy, Bumble Puppy. Millions will watch, and millions will cheer, and millions will cry. Living and dying every exciting moment with their favorite star.
You got big there.
There will be Bumble Puppy arenas in all the major cities in the United States. And the vast traveling circuit of Unistars will provide excitement for each and every one of us every waking moment. Can't you see Otto Preminger sitting up there working those great big levers, you know, scoring points till Billy be damned. Why don't we bring back all the old presidents, you know? No reason why not. You know, old Harry can't come out and give him hell for a couple of minutes to a tremendous applause. Then you could have second string Unistar Bumble Puppy games. You know, all the second-rate performers that never quite make it, like T. Lamar Caudle is in charge of tonight's game. Of course, all the ex-Unistars will be there on hand. Can you imagine Bill Haley and his Comets making a hard, sharp, throwing forward pass to Y.A. Tittle, ex. I'm sorry, it's money. You get like this. Do you have another little goody in there? Goody, goody.
At the Plaza Theater in New York, a motion picture called Rider on the Rain is now in its premiere engagement. Already it is being hailed as a cinema masterpiece. Judith Crist of New York Magazine and NBC TV says,
Rider on the Rain is the complete movie, a totally absorbing and a stick-to-the-ribs-of-the-mind thriller. René Clément's film glitters with style and shines with technical accomplishment. It signals his mastery of the art of suspense drama, the gutsiest of melodramas with shocking impact, momentous happenings, and beautifully defined tensions. It is for those who wonder where the entertainment, the involvement, and the shared human experience of films have gone.
Joseph E. Levine presents an AFCO Embassy film starring Charles Bronson and Marlene Jobert, Rider on the Rain, directed by René Clément, in color, rated GP, all ages, parental guidance. Now playing Plaza Theater.
Well, you ask your daddy to take you to that one. Let's see. We've done Dr. Pepper. Rider on the Rain. Is there a tag on that one, baby? Let's see. Tag. Oh, heaven's sakes. All these, let's see. Here it is. Oh, yes, indeed. Now playing at the Plaza Theater, 58th Street, east of Madison. And, let's see. Oh, speaking of, hey, you know, of course, this is an important concept that we've just casually tossed out here, the Unistar concept. You can see it happening. You see in every department of life. For example, you see it on such little innocent looking things as, like, say, the American Sportsman, where you see Rip Torn shooting bighorn elk. Now he'd probably run like a bandit if he ever saw a bighorn elk. You see, I mean, real. But the heat. And so this is the beginning of it. Now, if you got a real bighorn elk hunter, who cares? You know, what you got to get is you know, Debbie Reynolds now takes on the all-star bowling team on Channel 7. And that's what counts. And ultimately, it's invading politics like mad. I mean, there's hardly a writer in town who doesn't believe he could at least be mayor, at the very least. So, you know, it's all when you base your ideas on showbiz. Now, remember what I'm saying here. When you base your ideas that everybody's playing a role, there's no reason why everybody can't do everything. In other words, if everybody's pretending and there's no real anything, then there's no reason why everybody can't do it. In short, if you think life is a giant theater, well then why can't you be a brain surgeon? I mean, you saw that guy down the street there faking it. I mean, after all, he's wearing a jacket. Anybody can wear a white coat like that. And you probably studied innumerable hours, I mean, in front of your TV set. How many brain operations have you seen performed? I mean, on Dr. Culpepper, too. Listen, I've seen thousands of them. I mean, Dr. Culpepper, dynamic orthodontist. I'd love to see a TV series based on real life. I'm sorry, I keep confusing the staff here, but Doctor. Well, and of course, ultimately, the final Unistar will have to be totally non. There'll be have to be dynamic, controversial Unistars. You know, there's no question about it. That's got to come. For example, H. Rapp Brown will make a quick lateral pass to, let's say somebody good, a quick lateral pass to Jane Fonda. And well, sure, it's all part and parcel of the whole thing. There's no reason, you know, I miss Dr. Spock between demonstrations. And there's no reason why Dr. Spock can't, you know, start singing songs and stuff. I'd like to see him on the Glenn Campbell show. And, I think that the whole idea has great merit because we need our stars. They're important to us. Absolutely. Man must believe in something. I mean, where are you going to turn when you don't believe in your Buick no more? I mean, you got to believe in something. Oh, yes, I saw a guy the other day. He was standing down there by the East River. And, you know, a bunch of people were arguing with him not to jump in. And somebody said, what happened? He said, I don't believe in nothing. And the guy said, what do you mean you don't believe in nothing? You just bought a new Buick. And, you know, well, haven't you seen the commercials? Says, at least there's something to believe in. He got the Buick and he ran out of gas 2 hours after he got it. You know, what are you going to do? That's right. It's the river. Of course, when that happened, everybody applauded because they could see the point. Yeah, well, the trouble is he jumped in the river, you know, and the river was so polluted he bounced. So he laid there on the top of the water for about 20 minutes to finally got up, you know, felt like an idiot and climbed back on, you know, shore, and that's the end of the ball game. You can't really win. In fact, I think that there's a lot to offer in this Unistar concept. I do. You know, every ball player's got a book going. There's no doubt about that. How many football players turned out a hard-hitting, dynamic novel about football in the last year? Oh, tell you, at least a dozen, you know. And it's going to have to start working the other way. I think that Rock Hudson would make a very fine pitcher. I mean, he's got that long, lanky look. He does, you know, and I could just see him out there winding up. And it wouldn't make any difference if he's pitching to Gloria De Haven. I mean, it doesn't matter one way or the other. Who cares about the sport anymore? it was an interesting sight to see all the Met fans the other day. I was watching on TV, and the camera kept picking them up, see. And here was this nonentity. Or at least somebody, he was a nonentity to the Met fans. You see, there's only one star on the Mets, and that's Seaver. And either that is Swoboda. He's up there, too. And so the camera kept picking up all these people with a funny look on their face. Well, Seaver was losing. I mean, you know, we all know, and that's another thing. That's why people are getting tired of sports. I mean, I think people are getting bugged with sports because they don't go according to dramatic writing. A good dramatic author will always tell you, leave them smiling. You know? Absolutely. I mean, you're not going to let him go out of the house. I mean, you can't imagine. Can you imagine that moment when Gary Cooper is walking along that street, that dusty street, and he meets Jack Palance? Well, you know who's the bad guy and who's the good guy in that scene right away, right? I mean, you're a real movie fan. You hear Judith Crist. She keeps you straight. I mean, you know, she tells you that movies have their own language now, and, you know, good guys and bad guys. It's nothing to do with life, but they're, you know, it's the movie language. And so we all know that bad guys, when they show up, there's certain people who are bad guys. Like, for example, we know Palance is bad. He's no good, a rotten apple. Well, all right. You haven't seen anybody that plays bad guys get elected to any office yet, have you? Now, all of you have seen George Murphy in the movies, right? Well, you never saw him play a bad guy, never. Ronald Reagan? No, he's always everybody's friend. You don't think for one minute that Scott Farkas, who played that... The head of the Farkas gang in that fantastic picture, that, you know, who shot Liberty Valance? You don't see Liberty Valance getting elected to Congress. Oh, no, it's Jimmy Stewart. That's right. So there's a lesson in there for all of us. I mean, somebody loused up on a script over the weekend. Mets lost that ball game. Got a get there and investigate that. By the way, speaking of investigate, I must say that I'm a Met fan, so don't misinterpret me here. But this point, these points are all, they're all well taken. Every singer today is now also an actor. In fact, I know one singer who's also a very well-qualified expert on international politics. I mean, there's no question about that. So this is the Unistar. Who's that? Well, you just keep asking, who's that? And we'll send you a list so that you can identify who is that. this is a problem that we all have to face. I mean, we all know today that it is firmly believed by anyone who achieves any success in any field that there's no doubt but what he can achieve success in any other field. In fact, this is such a well-established trend in our time that I suspect by the end of 1975 that every election will see over 12,942 candidates for president, ranging all the way from tap dancers from Broadway shows who, were so wonderful in Hello, Dolly, all the way on up to guys who have... Dr. Barnard's a typical example of a showbiz doctor. Now, if he was a little short, fat guy that sweated a lot, I doubt whether he would have made it on the Carson show as big. Remember him? Yeah, he's terrific. He's giving that up, though, now. I mean, showbiz is a terrible lure to all of us. There's no doubt about it, I'll tell you. I think a lot of guys want to get elected to office because then they figure they'll get their own TV show. That's one way to make it, If you hang around William Morris long enough, nobody listens to you, but you get elected to Congress, the next thing you know, the phone rings, and you got a great, groovy color show in the afternoon. You come on, you interview people. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, because I go along with that, you see. I'm one of the few people who say, why retire a great ball player? Because he can't hit the ball. I mean, there's no question about that. Everybody, wouldn't you go out today to see, somebody even was on the air tonight on the Mazur show talking about that. Wouldn't you go out today to see Whitey Ford and King Kong Keller? And, playing a ball game against the Phillies? Ugh. Of course, the Phillies would at least have to bring back Robin Roberts. some of these real good guys. Well, I think that the Unistar concept will eventually take over. And I think that I remember one time. I don't recall. Did any of you ever read a story like this? It was a story that was about. It was late in some undefined point in the future. And the people's lives had been totally given over to showbiz. By then, man had no private life of his own that was meaningful in any sense of the word. And it was a total welfare state by then. So whatever you did was complete. In fact, I think most people today feel that the job and the lives... Every time you go to a college, guys talk about things like, I want to get into a creative, meaningful position, they say. Well, you say, you got any talent, Fred? Creative means talent. Well, of course. I mean, it's assumed immediately everybody's got a talent, you see. And if the system was right, your talent would be utilized to the fullest. Absolutely, in a great, groovy system. And, of course, since you keep writing those miserable short stories and they keep sending them back and they keep getting mad because you don't include return mail, postage, and it must be a bad system. Well, so ultimately, I think that it'll go that way, that people will say, who wants to work in the cost accounting department of the Jipip Widget Company of Pittsburgh? That's ridiculous. The least I want to do is play second banana in a movie by Jane Fonda. That's the least. So everybody wants to be in showbiz in one way or another. So ultimately, they will allow you to be in showbiz. Life will be created along that line. So every morning you will go into your capsule in this unforeseen point in the future. By the way, Lee, would you please look at me carefully? There's a record I want in there that is not on the table. Hold up what you've got. Give me that great. How about Atmospheres? That's it right there. See, you can set that up. Just, and you don't have to cue it up, Marty. Just set it in the middle because it's one long thing. It sounds like my air conditioning unit sending me a message, you know? Just a, that's it. 8 a.m. Charles W. Smothers of 1422, Gone with the Wind Drive, enters his capsule. 8:12. He sets the controls for Despair. 8:17, he adjusts controls for War of 1812. The walls in his capsule begin to warm up. Shady, hazy images begin to appear. We see the vanguard of General Napoleon's army approaching the gates of Moscow. We see in the second row of the first platoon, 4th Queen's Own Hussars, Charles Smothers, dressed in the uniform of an acting Lance Corporal. Smothers' eyes are glazed as he sits in his vast Unishow chair. As slowly his mind transports him to the Battle of 1812. A quick cut scene, and we see Vanessa Redgrave weeping as she reads the letter from Charles Smothers. Vanessa Redgrave, the beautiful vixen that he left behind in Paris. The vast roar of movie music swells higher and higher as the valiant army slogs through the vast snowy fields of Russia. A doomed and defeated army, but a valiant army. A red light flips briefly on Mr. Smothers' console. He shakes his head to return to a semblance of consciousness. He speaks into a intercom tube. Yes? It's his wife. It's lunchtime. A quick shot of Campbell's soup comes out of his console. It is injected intravenously. And an American cheese sandwich. He returns to the Battle of Moscow. By 5 o'clock that night, Charles W. Smothers is one of the most decorated soldiers in Moscow's terrible battle. The defeated remnants of Napoleon's army straggle back over the plains, and another great moment in Charles Smothers' life is history. This is sent to you by the Unistar Corporation. You, too, can live a meaningful life. Available on the monthly basis. Tomorrow, the Battle of Bull Run. You are there. Kind of like that, don't you? And by the way, how about this? Would you like this one? Reset that, Marty. There's another variation which I have just created which may even fit you better. You ready? The time, 8:05. Charles Smothers enters his Unishow capsule. Charles Smothers, quiet, unassuming, insignificant citizen of the 21st century. Age 41. Height, 5 feet two. Weight, 267. Married to Elizabeth Smothers. Age 37. Height, 5 feet, 9.5 inches. Weight, 73. Charles adjusts the safety belt. Plugs in the electrodes. Checks the control console. And another significant moment of the Charles Smothers show is about to begin. The walls flicker, green, yellow, purple lights move and shift, and suddenly we see a vast, all-encompassing, stretching to the horizon audience. A vast crowd, all watching Charles Smothers. And above the screen, lines of dialogue begin to appear. 47 years ago, Mr. Smothers begins to intone the lines in his shaky, quavery voice. The crowd roars as each succeeding line drives its historical import home to them. They cheer. And now we see Mr. Smothers suddenly peering down from a balcony. It appears to be a forum. Yes, it is. It is Rome. St. Peter's Square. Millions of pilgrims have come. Mr. Smothers raises his hand and in carefully measured tones delivers a benediction. Lights swirl. The scene changes. We see a vast array of armed might. Long lines of soldiers and drawn tanks with banners flying. Mr. Smothers marches forward. He now turns. He faces a vast sea of people. Their arms are outstretched, right hand high. And wave upon wave upon wave upon wave. Sieg Heil! Sieg Heil! Sieg Heil! Mr. Smothers knows the ultimate in ecstasy. A ruler of all men. A green light flickers briefly. It is time for Campbell's pork and beans and an American cheese sandwich. He relaxes. Yeah, it's kind of nice, isn't it? Couldn't you do that? Wouldn't you love that? There ain't man Jack or one of us who wouldn't subscribe to that. And can't you see? Oh, yeah. How about this one? Come on, bring me. Let's sneak in a little bit. That's all right, man. We'll get to it. We got time. You like this one? It's now 8:10 p.m. Orville Dildock pauses before the door of his Unishow laboratory. Perspiration is showing on his nose, his forehead. He wipes his face nervously. He's always like this before a show. Back and forth he paces, waiting for his cue, and suddenly he hears the sound of music. He hears the sound of music playing in the next room. Music, music. He hears the sound of music. No, no. It is his cue. He walks into his laboratory. A vast crowd awaits. They applaud uproariously. Ed McMahon says, and here he is, Orville. Boy. And coast to coast in his closed circuit hookup, Orby Boy
entertains 347 million Americans. The Orville Dildock Show is on the air.
They ain't one of us. Everybody's got his price.
Hey, don't put that away. Sneak it in. Quick.
I want you to carefully listen to this. With all your attention, I want you to look carefully at your radio set. Look. Look at me. I am instructing you to make out a check for $2, a check or a money order, and send it to this address. Year one. 460 West 34th Street, New York. 10001. I repeat, year one. 460 West 34th Street, New York, 10001. A check for $2 or a money order with a fantastic year one poster that will blow you out of your bill. As a matter of fact, it will be your private unishow. You will lie in your back and look up into this vast, all-encompassing poster, and you will be swept in the worlds you never understood existed. Heaven, Earth, Rock, Beatles, Sound, Time, come together in the kingdom of rock. And there he is. It's been the Orville Dildock Show.
Happy. Jack be nimble, Jack be quick. Happy birthday to you. Happy existence to you. Fellow victim to you.
There is nobody home, I hope. Buzz me, Miss Brown. Buzz me.
They're playing our tune, Velvet. They're playing our tune again. My God, they don't. Well, they just don't build them like they used to build them.
Happy.